This is URN.
The Film Show Breakdown.
It is an exciting week. So, Jamie, we'll throw it over to you. When I met you outside the cinema last night, you said, are we ready for the film of the year?
If only I knew we were not ready.
Do you stand by it? So what film are we talking about?
The funny thing is, when you told me we were seeing Paddington 2, I was very judgmental. You know, just going to see a kid's film in the cinema for the film show. Then I looked up, I did a bit of research, which is always good. And this was getting some really good reviews. And now that I've seen it, I really see why. So the plot is, and I'll explain it as best as I can without spoiling too much, Paddington is trying to find the perfect birthday present for his Aunt Lucy, and he gets falsely accused of a crime, stealing that very perfect present. And the villain, I don't think it's a spoiler to say, is played by... blanking on the name.
Hugh Grant.
No, definitely not spoilers. Sorry, it's not yeah.
I nearly said Hugh Laurie. It's not Hugh Laurie. So good job I paused then.
Although there were two Hughes in it. There was Hugh Bonneville who played Mr. Brown.
There is a lot of classic British actors in this. It's a very... almost very... It captures
Game
the heart.
Game of Thrones-esque.
Yeah, it's perfectly Game of Thrones-esque. Yeah, a real drama.
At least going on the British cast.
Yeah, it's a very charming film. I actually do really recommend it, and it manages to appeal to all ages. You see a genuinely solid adventure film which doesn't involve, well, not anything too outlandish, but it, I'm sure we'll talk about them elements of the film.
Yeah, Joe, what about you? What did you have to say about Paddington?
I loved it. Absolutely loved it.
So you watched the first one the other day. You've only just finished it.
I'm a new fan of the Paddington franchise.
Is it better or worse?
I prefer the second one. Well, the first one is good as well, but I think this one, I'm not sure if they were working on bigger budgets, or they knew that they had the draw, so they took a lot more risks. I think the scope of what they were doing was bigger. The set pieces were more ambitious.
Although I'll tell you what, I did love that bit in the first Paddington where we see he's like attached to a London bus, or is it a kite or something?
I watched it so long ago, so you have to forgive me when he starts flying.
That's brilliant.
Gets the policeman's helmet like halfway through and just
because he's trying to stop a thief, if that's right.
Mm-hmm. It appears I need to watch the first Paddington as well.
Yeah, so it's like this sort of Paddington as a vigilante continues on into the second one as he again tries to stop someone trying to steal the book he wants to give to his aunt as a present.
You know what's really interesting is, like, is an adventure hero for the first time in a long time that isn't completely cynical or miserable. I think that brings like a whole new interest and dynamic to the film. He's a genuinely like...
He's very innocent and
he wants
to learn. He's excited by everything, isn't he?
Yeah, sees the good in people.
He's definitely... Without putting you on the spot too much, Jamie, do you think you could like name any names of people who are like cynical heroes?
Cynical...
only because you said we've had quite a few of them.
We're talking about Justice League next week, so we'll leave naming any superhero films.
It's probably shorter to name those that aren't jaded and cynical at this point.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Top of my head, Marty McFly wasn't very cynical, so that's... That's back in the 80s. That's a good example.
Yeah, I think Confused summed him up.
Yeah.
But no, I think you're absolutely right. I think the thing with Paddington is he's so naive, but just so, I don't know, well-mannered. And I think it speaks to children in terms of the idea is, I mean, Mark Kermode's words is his main weapon is a hard stare. And I think it's absolutely the case that...
Effective, though.
Very effective.
Yeah, I was terrified.
Just going off that, because I heard Mark Kermode this morning as well, he was saying that I think the best weapon for that is having Ben Whishaw be the voice of Paddington, because you absolutely believe that Ben Whishaw would use the hard stare in reality as well.
Yeah, very, very true. Ben Whishaw, of course, who played Q, James Bond's quartermaster in Skyfall and Spectre. I think he's like perfect for the voice of Paddington.
Yeah, definitely. He's very, very endearing. I think that's what's so important about it, because you just want this little bear to succeed in everything he does. And he's so clumsy. And that's what makes the film exciting, because everything that goes wrong for him, the audience is willing for it to go right, and it just never does.
Yeah, I think the thing is, he's like that unlikely hero, sort of.
Exactly. He's almost... I'm not sure if it's that he's not a wise fool, because he's definitely not wise, but he's the fool that is cleverer than people in the characters give him credit for, because he's actually very talented as well, as we find out as the film progresses.
Yeah, definitely. And I think like that will just speak to children on so many levels, as just having this sort of likeable, naive hero who's capable of more than everyone thinks. Like, yeah. I think he's like just such this underestimated character, and then he comes in. I mean, do either of you have sort of a favourite scene from the film? Because so many stick out in my mind.
There is one I want to talk about, and we talked about it briefly when we left the cinema, because I was worried they were about to do a very cliche miscommunication gag, you know, in the hairdressers.
Right, yeah.
And the way they stuck to it, and like they won me round with the joke, I got to give credit to that, because I thought that was genuinely funny scene which managed to correctly do an old trope.
Yeah, no, brilliant. And I think what you're saying there about following through with things, like the continuity in this film, like me and Joe were saying, like they flag up points at the beginning and this sort of you know, oh, let's pick up where we left off, so this has happened, and then as the film progresses they refer back to the things that happened.
Very, very, very well planned film.
Nothing is wasted almost in the script,
which I think we took for granted. It was a kid's film, we were watching it like, okay, yeah, that's just a throwaway comment. Yeah. But it wasn't.
Right from
it
the
was
very
so much
first,
more.
That theme started right in the very first scene when Mrs. Bird produces a, as if it's a magic trick, produces a 50p coin, and you're thinking, oh, that was cool, but we won't see that again. And then that becomes an important theme that carries on throughout.
Yeah, he manages to keep it on him for a long time. Anyway, but we won't give anything away.
Yeah.
And I think a fantastic bit, like one of my favourite scenes, was the bit where it shows that Hugh Bonneville's character, Mr. Brown, has this sort of like rebellious, boisterous, like, you know, macho past. And there's this bit where he's at a coconut shop.
Yeah.
You know, like on its own, like that is a funny scene. Like, we've got to give it to Hugh Bonneville. Like, it's out of character for him to do that. And I think that's why the joke has like so many legs. And then, like, that is used again, and I think so smartly done as well. Like, so all these throwaway comments, like these bits of either humour or a bit of exposition, actually come in to like help the plot.
Exactly.
The
They set up that stuff with Hugh Bonneville in the first film as well, because I haven't seen the second one yet. But I remember he had like a motorbike and stuff in the first film in a flashback, and it was, I always remember him changing his car, and his wife was just stunned, and she was just like, it's beige. And I remember he just said, it's a very calm and neutral colour, get in the car. And like, I feel it's nice that they kind of keep bringing that up and bringing that back.
And it does explain how such his wife who is so into like adventure and stuff like it explains how they could possibly have ended up together.
Because now it's
so boring.
I think that's just not all children's films can manage it, but the ones that can like are really good at like putting little jokes in for the parents.
Absolutely.
And I'm not saying that children ruin your life, because they absolutely don't, but they certainly change it, and you grow up so much, and like you know you grow as a person through having. And so he grows into this sort of like normal, sort of very middle class father, after being this sort of like person his kids wouldn't even believe he was.
Exactly.
So yeah, I think it's brilliant. My favourite scene was the window cleaning scene.
I was going to say that as well. Good. Yeah, all the Charlie Chaplin-esque sort of slapstick scenes were just brilliant.
It was rare that the audience
explain it. Or
I just wanted to say, like, it's rare that the audience wasn't smiling or laughing in the film.
I completely agree. Like, we were laughing the whole way through, and I've sat through some pretty shoddy films this year, like Kingsman: The Golden Circle. I really had to force myself to laugh and enjoy it, whereas this was just effortlessly funny. And I think it's because you're just letting yourself into a world that's, you know, doesn't take itself too seriously. It is, like you say, Joe, a bit slapstick, and it's great. Like, you've got elements of Charlie Chaplin almost explicitly at one point, and then you know, you've even got sort of what feels to me like a reference to Buster Keaton in The General. So like, these silent films are like the 1920s and 1930s. And it's just like brilliantly just sort of transformed into this children's film that like children can watch and appreciate. And that might even actually form a certain appreciation for the sort of silent film era with this comedy.
Definitely. It's situational comedy as well. I think we should explain this window cleaning scene. Paddington does that classic where you've been leaving the bucket to fill up. Then you go to pick it up, and then you go, oh my word, this is heavier than I thought it would be. And then one thing leads to another, and he ends up hanging at the top of a ladder from a rope, which he'd used to he tried to use his own weight to get the bucket up to the top, yeah. basically, which is just a bad idea.
And then there's that brilliant bit after where he's in Sanjeev Bhaskar, who is also very good in this film, incidentally, although in quite a minor role. He's in his back garden and he's got this soap all over him and he accidentally gets it on the window. So he just starts using his entire body to like sort of clean the window.
He's a big sponge.
He's his own sponge. And it just makes this brilliant, light-hearted montage. And I think last week we were doing sort of fairly complex films, or at least deep films, like Goodbye Christopher Robin, and even to an extent Murder on the Orient Express and Jigsaw. And then this week to come in and just watch Paddington and just have a film where you can just leave everything at the door and just enjoy it. I think that's just so good. And I think, Jamie, you were surprised that how good it actually was.
Definitely would recommend it, yeah.
And I think one more thing we actually need to throw in quickly is this is Paul King, who directed every episode of The Mighty Boosh.
Bit of an interesting leap to make, but you can see elements of that kind of comedy, situational comedy, like you were saying.
Yeah, it's got almost like the right balance of quirkiness as well.
Put a word in for Hugh Grant as well, because
definitely.
I thought he showed, he's still got it. He's been quite quiet recently, but here he is playing like a villain, which is something he's not done much previously, and showing a little bit of versatility as well, because he's a villain that has many disguises and stuff. So
yeah, a bit like Jim Carrey in A Series of Unfortunate Events.
Exactly.
I think Hugh Grant was brilliant, and though he played the villain, he did have some of the funniest lines in it
as well. Definitely.
That's almost shadowing the others. What am I saying? They were all brilliant. Like, even Brendan Gleeson, who seemed like this intimidating guy, was funny. Sally Hawkins is funny. Hugh Bonneville, he steals the funniest line for me when they go up in the attic.
That's right. When it comes out of nowhere.
So it's not just Paddington. It's all of them. And I think it ties together in just this, great film. It leaves you smiling. So I suppose the final question before we finish on Paddington is, do we see Peter Rabbit being able to fit into the same vein as Paddington? Because I think Paddington was a big surprise for all of us to enjoy it so much.
I think Peter Rabbit is film of the year, guaranteed, non-ironic.
I don't think, looking at the trailer for it, I don't think it has the kind of heart that Paddington is going to have. I think as well, just to do shout-outs as well, because you were talking about how much it just draws you in as a film, having someone like Eric Wilson come on and be the cinematographer and set up all these lovely warm colours for Paddington, it really does draw you in that way. He's fantastic. And I think that I saw the trailer for Peter Rabbit and I don't think it's going to be as good.
Yeah, I'm the same. I'm not sure if I'm jumping to conclusions just from the trailer, but I got the same feeling as, I don't know if you guys remember Over the Hedge. I liked it at the time, but this is when I was what, 8? Well, maybe it wasn't out then, but
ideal demographic.
I think it feels like it's just gonna be a very hyper film. Kids will like it, but I think Paddington's got a lot more in it for adults.
Yeah, well, Paddington's just a film for everyone.
It
looked to me like the Peter Rabbit films, I could be wrong because obviously we haven't seen it, but looking at the trailer, it didn't look like it captures what I imagine the morals of Peter Rabbit used to be and all that, whereas Paddington does have a very moral heart about it, whereas this just looks like, what nostalgic property could we buy into again?
I'll be doing that as well.
Let's get James Corden on a project. He's doing well. I don't know. We'll have to see how it goes. I feel like we were taken by surprise with Paddington, so maybe we'll get the same again. Final thoughts for me. If you're going to go see a film with a train this week, make it Paddington 2. What about you guys, Jamie? What would you have to say?
Well, you were talking about Peter Rabbit, of course, and just in comparison, we were watching the trailers beforehand and it's clear that none of the creators cared when making them, as it's obvious that they cared when making Paddington Bear. You can really feel that, so I would recommend it.
Brilliant. And Joe?
Well, Murder on the Orient Express was alright, but Paddington's better.
Yeah,
brilliant. I'm with you as well.
So yeah, thumbs up from all of us for Paddington.